Thank you. I think we have all the members back, except Member Shara had to depart to get a drive, so he wanted to get, yeah, so he wanted to get started. I don't know if heard the fish were biting or what, but
he's not talking.
So, but anyway, thank you for being back, and just a couple items left on the agenda here. And I would ask Sandy if you would please introduce our presenters this afternoon.
Yes, I'll just give a little bit of background information here for the new folks. Is this time last year we started to talk as a council about communication and trying to tell the story about the Outdoor Heritage Fund and what's been done. And several things kind of took place, and in October we issued a call for funding request for a communications program to be put together, and we signed a contract. It was approved by the council in November of 18, and then we signed a contract with Bustle Herder to kind of help us with our communications. And so they're here today to tell us about all the good stuff that they've been helping us do since then. So welcome.
Hi, I am Carol Russell, Patrick Thornton, and my partner Brian Herder, and we are very glad to be here. Our purpose is just to go very quickly through what we've accomplished so far and what we've got coming up. So as Sandy said, we'll say the good stuff. Okay, you know, what we're trying to do is to share information about this program.
Could you sit down and use the microphone, Carol? It would be helpful to pick it up on the recording.
Okay, and
you got to pull that down toward you. Thank you.
Okay.
Speak right into it.
Like a little strong. There you go.
Good?
Good.
Is that good? Okay. All right. So, have never done a presentation seated like this. This is interesting. So, our intent is to share information about this program. You're accomplishing a lot, but there are still those who are not aware of what you're doing, how the funds are being used. We also wanted to and have made progress in creating tools and templates that your staff and program managers can be using in the field. This needs to be a team effort, and it's worked very well working with the team that's here. We also need to extend that out in the field to gain the information that they have, and importantly, to figure out a way to monitor. Is this a good investment? Are you getting a return for that? So, a few examples here, which you can see on the screens. We did an overview of the program. You know, some of these materials are being done to be used with media, you know, with people that have questions that we are trying to get visibility with. So this is a pretty straightforward piece about the history and the purpose. We also have the media guide, which is used with your program staff. They have a lot of information and a lot of stories to tell, but they may or may not have a lot of experience working with media. So it's helping to instruct them, this is how you go about it, this is what you say, these are the key messages. We want to be sure they're not only talking about their program, but about, you know, what you are doing as a whole. We also have the news release process.
Yeah. And the idea for this is it'd be used by some of the different partner organizations who do get approached. Prairie Chicken Society, the Trout Group, Ducks Unlimited, whoever it might be, even down to a small lake association where we could get this in their hands and they say to themselves, hey, you know, we may have a project that's interesting. What information would we need to turn it into something that there might be some interest in through a news release or through some outreach to a reporter or a community member or anything like that? So it's, and we can share all these materials with you later, but it's kind of just a general who, what, when, where, why, how, the impact of it. That you could fill out, give back to us, and then we could use to sort of extrapolate the information from that.
So some of these things are one-time creation projects, but they are now done. This is project profiles. These are very project-specific. A little hard to see on the screen, but I'm sure you could get copies. The Blue Wing Teal Award, again, you know, trying to give background in a consistent way. Moving quickly through this, we also have conducted a website assessment, and that's something that we'll be going through in detail with your team. But, you know, just at a high level, you know, the intent of this was just to see how's the website working? You know, does it have what it needs in terms of functionality? Are we tracking it appropriately? What's the content? What's the design? We want it to be a good user experience. As you're aware, this is what it looks like now. There is an ecosystem that this organization's website lives within online. You know, you don't necessarily have competitors like a product, but you do have other organizations that are, in a sense, competing for mindshare. And so we need to be aware of what they're doing and find ways to complement with them. So we've looked at, you know, these are just a few observations, at the content and the user experience. It's pretty good. It's organized very logically. It is very much a contemporary website design for a governmental type entity. It's mobile responsive, etc. Again, straightforward content structure. This is the kind of thing we'll drill in more with your team. Goal tracking. We are very heavy on the analytics piece, so we are going to work with your leadership to really define what are those goals on the website and are we making it happen. For instance, we are recommending using a contact form so we can get more submissions and we can gather that information. We're also looking at key search phrases. We want to be sure that we are coming up for the right kind of issues. This is really important in any kind of online activity. You can see some of the phrases, Minnesota Lakes projects, et cetera. We're always building on this list. And then we're tracking to see, do you actually come up in those results? And you are. We can continually improve that, however. And SEO, those of you who know how websites work know that we have to build in keywords throughout the website to gain traffic. You know, again, you're doing a lot of good work. We're trying to get visibility for it. And so there's a lot of ways that we can do that in a behind-the-scenes way. We're also going to be recommending that there are some online investments. They don't have to be extensive, but something to target certain groups of people mm-hmm. through paid ads to get them to the website. And design-wise, it's looking pretty good, but there's a lot more you could add from an imagery standpoint. You've got some great projects, and we need to get those visuals and put them on there. So, bottom line, I want to look at the goals, want to adjust the tracking, get the content and messaging more focused, make it more accessible, and improve how it's looking and how it works. We're also looking at image organization. That was something that was in the original RFP, that you have a lot of assets, but they need to be readily accessible. And right now, they're not as in an ideal format. So we are looking at what kind of process can we institute so this can happen, so anybody could be accessing them and not have it cost a lot of money to do. That's, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, but they cost quite a bit. So we're trying to determine the most cost-effective way to do it. And social media, really just have started not too long ago with this. Facebook is performing well. We did get the Facebook page verified, an important step, mm-hmm. just so that people know that it is legitimate. This is your authentic page. So we went through that process. And you can see some of the posts that we have. This was for June. So this is going to build over time, but a lot of the other entities in your space are doing a lot on social media, and we feel strongly there's significant potential there. And Instagram, another place. You've got very visual projects, mm-hmm. so that's another place we can be. PR?
Yep. So this is one of the big focus areas for this project. There's a list of the news releases we've done so far. If you have any questions on those are the headings, but I could tell you what they are specifically. There's the outlets where you've got the most coverage since we picked February 1st of this year. A good split of the state. There's some big publications. There's some outdoor-focused publications. Grand Forks Herald is interesting. It's not even in Minnesota. But so that's sort of the top hit list so far. This is a graph that shows spikes in your coverage, spikes due to certain things on the calendar when the call for funding went out, we had a couple spikes when there was like bill signings for approving of budgets. There's a few other different reasons, but what you see there is
You want to see continuity,
right?
You want to see this continually grow. The different colors just represent different kind, like online versus offline, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And this is the media type. You know, what you should be looking for here is there diversification?
Right, yeah.
And you are, it is. We have trade publications, online newspaper, et cetera. The largest green is the consumer online.
This is a word cloud of, so where, when there's a story about the fund, what are the sort of words that are associated with it? This gives us an idea to track negative and positive, and I'm very happy that it's all positive. There's, if you wanted to look at some of these words, but this shows you two things that you want to see, positive things that are associated with the fund, which we see, and you also want to see the diversity, too. So it's, you get the sense that the folks who are reporting about the fund have a full understanding of what it is and what it does. So this, I can talk more about any of these words if you'd like to, but that's good. So, and then here's just a few examples of some clips, some of them which were proactive efforts on our part to work with, to try to secure this coverage. Some of it happened, some of it was just a reaction to other things. But, and then you see down there that figure is, what we say is that what is about what it would cost to place that through an advertisement. So you got the Star Tribune for obvious reasons is going to be a lot higher than others, but this story right here on the left that just was in Sunday's paper, I don't know if anyone saw that, about the work that the Audubon Society is doing down in the flood plain area of southern Minnesota. I mean, that was great. It was the front page of the main story in the Sunday paper. Those don't come along all that often, but when they do, it was a good one to see. And then we had a really nice story in the Detroit Lakes paper about some of the controlled burns that the Outdoor Heritage Fund money helped support, which was cool. There's a really great photo gallery that went with it.
So this will build over time, but I think we are feeling good about it, the fact that it's a start. Just finally, next steps, we are going to be looking at video. There's a lot of video going on in this space out there to tell the story, and you definitely have a story to tell. And so that is something that is set aside in the budget, so we'll be finding ways to do not just one big video production, but using video in a real nimble way to get it out on social, et cetera, and to differentiate what you are doing from others. We're also going to be continuing PR, relationship with media, educating journalists, et cetera, conducting media training. So we have a lot of things going in many different fronts, but again, it's been a relatively short amount of time. We're feeling good about it. We can continue to do more, but we welcome at any point anybody's ideas.
Yeah.
Because if you have things that you think would be good, or from where you live, you know would be good in that market area, you know, we're very interested in finding out. Do you have any questions?
Questions, please. Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you. So when you were talking about investing a little bit into advertising, were you just talking about web advertising, or are you talking more targeted through Facebook, Instagram? Because we know a lot of young people, especially, they're not going to websites. They get all their information from social media. So I'm just curious if that would. And there's some really good targeting. I mean, you guys know this, but I mean, there's really good targeting you can do. We were, member Eggerling just pointed out to me the Legacy Outdoor Heritage Fund Facebook page only has like 28 followers right now, which is like my dog could have more followers in 5 minutes.
Exactly. But that's a very, very good point. And that's, and I bet your dog does have more of them. That's exactly how you build followers is investing. And we're talking like not very much money here, you know, but Facebook, Instagram, you know, finding ways that you, what we're talking about is if you put a few dollars behind a given post, you can say, I want it to go to people of a certain age in a certain geographical area, that sort of thing, with certain interests, so that we can build that group, so you will see it grow. So it is that kind of thing versus we're not talking putting billboards up, we're not talking about just random website kind of things. It's more very targeted.
And one of the strategies that we've done to try to build that base is to follow the you know, we'd call them like an influencer, but you know, in the sphere of like conservation or environmentalism or some of the groups that have their own following, and then you try to sort of piggyback off that. So the social part of social media, and it's been a work in progress, and it's something that we've gotten started on, but there are ways that you can do it organically too. You know, sharing news articles is a great way, tagging the right groups is a great way to to build that. But yes, to your point,
it's an everyday thing.
It's not. Yeah. It's not by mistake that when you open up your account, what you see is what you see, and a lot of that is because there's some money behind it.
Further questions or comments, please. I think you've sold us.
Okay.
Doing very well. Thank you.
All right. Thank
Great
you.
To see you again, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item is an award presentation to the council, and that nomination was made by John Schneider to the North American Waterfall Management Program, and I know they invited. Chair to go to Las Vegas. I chose not to do that and asked that they would come here and present it to all of the council. I think it's certainly more fitting. And so, John, maybe you could just come up and give a minute on why you nominated the council for this award, if you would, please. That would be helpful.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and council members. John Schneider from Ducks Unlimited. It was my honor to nominate the council, frankly, for good work. We appreciate the work of the council since the legacy amendment was passed in 2008. The process has been public, transparent, objective, and frankly, really well done. And we appreciate all your hard work and the results, I think, speak for themselves. So this award, as you will hear from my colleagues at the Fish and Wildlife Service, is to celebrate partnerships for the North American Waterfowl Management Plan. The plan was signed in 1986 to develop partnerships, and this fortunate legacy amendment funding we have is a prime example of how state funding can leverage federal funding and nonprofit funding and get a lot of good work done. So with that, I don't want to steal the thunder of the Fish and Wildlife Service, so I'll defer it to them.
Thank you, John. Mr. Cooper, and they've asked if everyone would just stay for a minute and have a picture taken at the conclusion of their presentation.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'll go ahead and start.
Please.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Charlie Woolley. I'm the acting regional director for the Fish and Wildlife Service. Tom and I are located just down the road in Bloomington. We represent Fish and Wildlife Service employees in 8 upper Midwest states, about 1,000 employees out there in the landscape delivering conservation. And we're just proud to be here, extremely proud to be here with our esteemed partners in conservation, the Minnesota Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, and to help present this prestigious national honor to all of you. And as we just heard from John, it's the North American Waterfowl Management Plan's Blue Wing Teal Award. I want to thank Mark for the invite here, for Tom and I to come down and make this presentation. The National Blue Wing Teal Award is presented to individuals, partnerships, or programs whose activities at a national or regional level result in substantial benefits to waterfowl, other wetland-associated migratory bird populations, or wetland habitats. The council is an important partner in restoring many of Minnesota's prairie wetland complexes that are critical to waterfowl production and waterfowl hunting here in Minnesota. Habitat protected and restored with outdoor heritage funding provides important habitat for waterfowl and also many other species, such as monarch butterflies, meadowlarks, bobolinks, and pheasants. Since 2009, the council has worked diligently to ensure the integrity of the Outdoor Heritage Fund and the appropriation recommendations, and to ensure they relate directly to the restoration, protection, and enhancement of habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service applauds past and present council members for their stewardship. Many of the funded habitat conservation projects and programs complement the goals and objectives of the North American Waterfowl Management Plan, as well as foster the spirit of partnerships and conservation collaboration. Many of these efforts have also contributed meaningfully to conservation of waterfowl and other bird habitat in support of the Upper Mississippi River and Great Lakes Joint Venture and the Prairie Pothole Joint Venture habitat goals underneath the plan. To date, the council has recommended over $1 billion to conservation agencies and nonprofit conservation partners for important wetland, prairie forest, and other habitat conservation projects and programs here in Minnesota. The result is the protection of over 88,000 acres in fee title and over 300,000 acres via conservation easements across Minnesota. Additionally, more than 46,000 acres have been restored, and nearly 500,000 acres of wetlands, prairies, forest, and other important habitats have been enhanced. The nomination for this award, which I'm told is the first national award bestowed upon the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, was submitted to the North American Waterfowl Management Plan Office in Washington, D.C., by our mutual conservation partners, Ducks Unlimited, through the efforts of John, the director of DU's Minnesota Conservation Programs. We're grateful for the council's contributions to advance North American Waterfowl Management Plan conservation goals in the state of Minnesota. They contribute truly to a national stage, and their contributions have national impacts. It is my pleasure, along with Tom, and an honor to present the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council with the 2018 National Blue Wing Teal Award. Thank you.
Thank you. And certainly on behalf of the council and most importantly, the citizens of Minnesota who established this, the funding for this, and to the legislature for establishing the council, accept your award. Thank you.
You're welcome. As I mentioned, Tom and I work in 8 upper Midwest states. 7 of those other states are extremely envious of what we have here in Minnesota. Extremely envious. What you have, what we have, what collectively is shared here today is truly remarkable, and that's what this award represents. So congratulations to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You all have to fight over who gets to take the decoy home.
Well, I was hoping it would be like the Stanley Cup and we could rotate it around and take it.
Congratulations.
Just stand out in front of you. Members of the council, could we move into the front here and with the award and have a picture taken?
Sure.
And staff, please.
Cooper, switch over.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Any other movement that we need to make?
Big smile.
Okay. Who's the dog?
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Can I just do one more?
Oh, one more.
Yeah, yeah.
Back
one more.
We got one more.
Okay.
One more.
Thanks.
You won't let the,
nope,
the get too close to the dog.
Yes.
Thank you.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Good luck. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions or want some guidance from me.
We have one person who wants to.
Oh, okay. We got to sit back.
Mr. Barton Winter, please, public member that would like to present to the council.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a couple of pages here that I put together, and that kind of gives you a little outline. You know, what I'm dealing with here is I, you know, have been a citizen water monitor, and so I've been going down, even though I live in White Bear Lake, essentially, I've been going down south of Rochester to monitor with a Secchi tube and take temperature readings on three streams, primarily in this watershed near Spring Valley. And it's an interesting area. It's got karst, a lot of karst features. And before that, I was doing a lot of trout fishing down there, walking in a lot of the designated trout streams. I would say that I know most of them. I'm interested in the fact that this committee and council represents some money and some ability to, let's say, acquire land down in the southeast. That would be one of my first priorities, and I'm interested in promoting that area. I think it's a beautiful area, even though it's basically encumbered with agricultural land, and I appreciate agriculture, but I think maybe people take it for granted that it's just sort of a blue-collar area, but there are a lot of very scenic places down along these streams, and I would like to see more land acquisition there. I know I've been talking about restoration activities, but I think for leaving a permanency down there, and one of the would be to allow the public to have unfettered access to these streams. So that's one of the things I see. Rochester is a growing community, and I think there's the possibility of more recreational type landowners who do not want the fishing public or the public on their land and would be more active in trying to prevent them from accessing land. And that's another reason why I think, you know, legacy, we need to look at trying to gain permanent access to these areas. In conjunction with that, this trout stream easement, I know I was discussing with a chairman here and Martin Jennings and Brian Nurban about trout stream funding. And I spoke with DNR Lanesboro, and they said, well, they don't have any more funding right now. They may have the possibility of funding through the trout stamp program, but they indicated to me that they could get more trout stream easements, and this is something the farmer has to commit to, or other landowner, And so it's not always desirable for them to allow a permanent access or easement, but I'm strongly in favor of it. I believe it is a conservation issue also, that we are conserving the stream bank by purchasing these easements and, you know, not allowing certain activities to take place on the stream bank. So in that sense, I think it's a very important program, and I'm specifically interested in this area where I've been water monitoring. It's a beautiful area. I think it could be deserving of a state park. I know it's, you know, a long, long way from that, but I know that the Nature Conservancy is looking to acquire land in the southeast, and, you know, I would like to get involved in approaching, you know, soliciting landowners to see if they'd be willing to sell some part of, and finding out who's, you know, who might be interested in selling. And there's different scenarios going on, I'm sure, with aging. And anyway, it's an area that I see is very unique and very worthy. And I hope people realize that, you know, there are some great areas down there. As far as I'm concerned, Minnesota has the best of the karst area. It's got the steepest ranges, the most limestone cliff, the most existing, let's say, virgin-type forest or white pine is left in the karst area. And so these areas are really spectacular, especially when the water is clear. And the water is not always clear down there. So, again, and that would be sort of to diverge. But, yes, we need a lot of preservation and work on the areas in the farming areas, not just on the stream bank, but up above where the water drains from. And I was just up there Memorial Day, and we had heavy rain. And west of Spring Valley, you could see water was coursing across fields in a line going to the drainage. So, you know, you can see that when there's a certain overload, at least there, that we could use a lot more grass. We could use a lot more vegetation to hold the soil in place. And as a last piece of what I'm promoting, it's according to the DNR, and I got some information from their springs guy. He told me about what was spring-fed ponds in the upper reaches of Deer Creek and Bear Creek, and these were really unique, interesting features, which I believe could add a lot to these streams, and they could be restored. Now, it might be a real problem, but I'm postulating that. I have a map, and I showed the essence of what was written in the 1920s about what existed up there. And so that's another area I think would be really unique to try and restore. That wetland also needs a lot more buffer up there, from what I observed, that you know, they may have a minimal buffer, but that isn't enough when they get a lot of rain. There's an angle to that land up there, and it's all flowing somewhere. So yeah, that's my interest. I also had an interest that I mentioned to some others about the Nemadji River area south of Duluth. And what we have there is county tax forfeited land in Carlton County, which is along most of these streams and tributaries of the Nemadji. But I spoke with Bob Milne, DNR, and about what would be possible. And anyway, I'm interested in the conversion of county tax forfeited land to Nemadji State Forest. I think that area it's a very unique, beautiful area. It's probably undersubscribed, doesn't have a lot of fish population. But as far as its aesthetic qualities, would be worthy to cement the kind of preservation that a state forest designation would give, and maybe even some kind of a park up there. Anyway, that's another area. I don't know the possibilities of that, but I would also encourage that as an area where this commission could spend money. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your presentation. Questions for Mr. Winter? thank you for your interest, and we will certainly keep all that in mind. Representative Fabian, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we leave quickly, an issue that I raised in our previous time together, putting the last bill together, and then during this past legislative session, have raised the issue about accessibility for people who have significant mobility issues because of disabilities. It might be something that was sustained for one of our disabled veterans. It might be other people who've got mobility issues. Currently, WMAs and things that we do are off limits to motorized vehicles. And I think that we need to continue that conversation to try and do some things that are not going to prohibit taxpayers from the state of Minnesota and those people who have handicaps and disability issues from being able to access some of these areas. And it's going to be an issue I'm going to push hard on. I've talked to DNR about it. There seems to be an opening someplace to find a sweet spot, and I hope that we can have a conversation in our future meetings along those lines.
Thank you. Very, very worthy subject. Thank you. I'd like to, if there's nothing further to come before the council, certainly acknowledge the service of Member Blackburn and Member Kingston to the council. And I will, on behalf of the council, unless there's objections, write a letter to Governor Walz with regard to the appointments and see what can be accomplished there. The next meeting is scheduled for August the 2nd, at which time we would determine what items we're going to hear later in August in the meetings in the 21st and 22nd. This is a Friday. Hopefully it's, is that still a good day for a meeting? I know that Fridays in the summertime are dear. Representative Becker Finn, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, and I'd let Mr. Johnson know, but the National Conference for Environmental Legislators is on that same day, so I won't be able to physically be here. I'll talk with staff about how I can participate by phone.
Okay. Representative or Member McNamara, please.
Can we consider not having it on a Friday? Did we already go through this? Is there not?
Well, we set them last year, but certainly it's open to changing the day. I mean, the council can still change dates on meetings.
And then the further discussion, I thought last year we moved our two-day meetings into September. And I thought there was a sweet spot where we were able to accommodate staffs needing to have it done by a certain day, but yet get us out of doing it during the summer. Did we not do it? Did we not meet in early September last year for the 2 days of hearing proposals, or was it actually in August?
Mr. Chair,
Executive Director,
correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the last week of August last year when we met, I believe. So this year it was moved up a week. We were wondering if we could move it up further than that, but there's the problem of getting all the everything tallied after the early August meeting. So we moved it up 1 week. And I know that there was discussion also about going back to September. I don't remember why it was not moved back. It was just inavailability of members or what.
September is just, I mean, is staff able to accommodate it if it's in September?
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason for moving it? There was a strong reason for moving it, and I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter to me, obviously.
Well, it might. It won't matter to Julie, evidently.
That's big walleye time on Lake of the Woods. We're going to be meeting now, I'm telling you.
Well, I guess maybe, first of all, do we want to move that August 2nd date off of a Friday and go to I don't know why we chose a Friday. It's unusual for us to have meetings on Fridays.
Yes.
And so I don't know how it got there.
Friday's bad for me again this year simply because we've got our family reunion.
Sure. And so earlier in that week, would that be acceptable? Do you want to do Wednesday or Thursday?
Not for me.
Pardon?
Not
at all?
No.
Okay.
Friday is okay, though?
Sandy, please.
Can I make a suggestion that we pick some dates and send a survey out since we're missing so many members and get a consensus from all members?
Current members or new members?
Well, give a new one.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mr. Chair, if I may, we could do that. We could send out a survey to all the members and let the chair know right away, as well as the members. This was actually an approved, so whatever the change would be, the question would be, could the chair approve that unilaterally from a date? I would think he could with the approval of the council.
I would so move. That the chair be given the unilateral ability to move that the next date.
The one meeting first currently thing. Scheduled yeah. for August 2nd.
Yep.
Okay, we have motion by.
Our next meeting is August 2nd.
Yeah, the next week is the, isn't that the Conference of State Legislatures?
Yeah.
Which doesn't impact me. I'm not going there.
If you're going to survey, just survey. Yeah. I'm not going to that one either.
I go to too many things.
None of the legislators are actually going there.
Is the 7th or August the 7th then? Would that look like a better date?
I have nothing on my calendar for that date.
And unless Senator Lang is going.
Survey.
We have a motion.
We have a motion by Representative Fabian to have the chair seek with the input of the members a date to change the Friday, August 2nd meeting. There's no one on the phone. Can we then go to just a voice vote?
Can we survey for the August 22nd and 23rd date also to be moved in September meeting? Okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do both?
Yeah.
All right. No further discussion. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion is carried.
Abstain.
Thank you. So we will look at possibly moving that into the first week of September. All right. Very good. We'll see how that works for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
And everyone have a safe trip home. And this meeting's adjourned.
Did we move it?
I don't know.